This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Neil Harrington, candidate for mayor, City of Salem. Neil Harrington, welcome. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Good morning, Bill. Nice to speak with you again.
These interviews, we're doing a series of interviews with all five candidates that will appear on the March 28th primary ballot. And Neil, just for our listeners, I just want to go over the few main topics that I have or that we have, we'll be sharing with all five candidates, but then we'll get into your individual priority items in just a moment, too. But let me just give a quick overview for our listeners, and then you can pick them off, as I interject comments in between here. But your plans around Salem Public Schools or thoughts on Salem Public Schools, vision for Salem development, keeping Salem affordable. And number three would be, what is the advantage to having a former Salem mayor, Mayor Driscoll, now serving as lieutenant governor? And then we'll get into some other areas as well. But our idea is to let people, our listeners, really know where Neil Harrington is coming from and what his plans are for the city of Salem. So first up, Neil, let's begin with number one there, Salem Public Schools. Clearly a big issue for so many people, families, and students in the city of Salem. So what's your take on Salem Public Schools?
Well, Bill, the last time we spoke, which was way back in, I think, in November, I had not yet met the superintendent of schools, Dr. Zreich. I did have a chance to sit down with him over the Christmas break, and we had a lengthy conversation about his vision and his goals for the Salem Public Schools. And I must say I was very impressed with what he had to say. He was very enthusiastic about the good programs that are in place. He has some very specific things that he would like to implement, and he was very candid, frankly, about some of the areas that need improvement. I like the fact that he was very enthusiastic about moving the entire system toward being more what I would call aspirational, and I could tell that he was very focused on kids' emotional and social needs, particularly in this post-COVID environment. So, I'm pleased he recently signed a five-year extension, and I hope that if I'm elected, I'll be able to work with him and the whole school committee to move the system forward.
Absolutely. Good news. And that is a great follow-up, by the way, because we did obviously have a discussion on the Salem schools in our first conversation. All right. So now let me ask you about this. We have Salem Development and Salem Affordability. Maybe give you those are two kind of related topics, but yet they can also be two very separate topics. So when you hear that, what do you think of?
Well, it's a complex issue, and we could break it into several components. So let me just start perhaps with the development side of the equation. I think that Salem needs to manage its development and growth in a smarter way. There really doesn't seem to be a coherent guidance or direction currently other than to give the signal that the city is open for development. So while some new development is desirable, because if the city's not moving forward, it's really kind of standing still. But I really believe that each new proposal needs to be considered on its own merits to determine if it is beneficial for our community, including how it might affect the quality of life of existing neighborhoods. So in my mind, that means that any new development has to be weighed against things like existing zoning with current height and density limits, and then potential impacts on traffic, parking, public safety, et cetera, in the neighborhoods. The other thing that I feel is important when it comes to development is design. Design matters, particularly in Salem. Any new projects, particularly those on a large scale, should be designed, in my opinion, toward respecting the historic character of the existing architecture in Salem. We've all seen examples of new development in Salem that sticks out like a sore thumb because the city did not insist on the developer paying more attention to the design. And as you know, we are an historic city. Our next mayor, in my opinion, should insist on high-quality, appropriate design. Anything less is really a disservice to our community, as far as I'm concerned. Now, on the issue of affordable housing, I think everybody recognizes that the entire state has an affordable housing problem. We are estimated as a state to be looking at needing to build somewhere north of 200,000 new units. Salem is 8 square miles. We have a very dense population, about almost 45,000. So we can't solve the entire North Shore, for example, issue relative to affordable housing all by itself. We need other communities to chip in. However, there are tools at our disposal, and in my job here in Salisbury, I have utilized some of those tools that we have put into place and that I would recommend that we do for Salem. For example, we have what's called an inclusionary housing bylaw in Salisbury. It would be an ordinance in Salem, and that is any multifamily dwelling proposals would require a certain percentage to be affordable. We don't have such a requirement in Salem right now. We need to look at ways in which we can help people that can't afford their rents, for example. So there are a variety of strategies that need to be put into place, but we need to recognize that the affordable housing crisis is a statewide issue. We cannot solve it all on our own, but we must do our fair share.
Yeah, and feel free to bring in your experiences up in Salisbury as well as the current town manager there, for sure. My third question, and my one real last question would be, what is the advantage to having Salem's former mayor, Kim Driscoll, now as the lieutenant governor?
Well, with former mayor Driscoll in the lieutenant governor's seat, we should definitely have an ally on Beacon Hill. Mayor Driscoll actually got her start in local government working for me when I previously served as mayor, and we remain good friends to this day. In my current position as town manager in Salisbury, I'm very familiar with many of the state grant programs that fall or that fell under the purview of the former lieutenant governor, Karen Polito. And if Lieutenant Governor Driscoll remains in that type of a role, like a liaison with cities and towns, I'm confident that if I'm elected, Salem will have her ear and she'll look favorably upon us when it comes to state assistance. We also have a very strong and professional planning department, and I'm sure they will continue to perform well in terms of grant applications under whoever becomes mayor. But it's always good to have an ally, not quite in the corner office, but almost next to the corner office on Beacon Hill.
Yeah, definitely within shouting distance or whispering distance for sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Neil, in a couple of wild card issues here that you think are important would be traffic. And I don't think there's anyone that would disagree with you in many North Shore communities, and in particular Salem, and in particular at certain times of the year. So tell me, what are your thoughts on traffic or traffic patterns or possibilities or concerns about traffic in the city of Salem?
Well, in my opinion, the city needs to do a much better job in responding to neighborhood concerns about traffic, not just during haunted happenings, but throughout the year. For my money, we need to implement a more effective and practical solutions than some of the traffic changes that have been put into place, such as the disaster that is North Street and some of the problematic changes that were made over the last year or two on Ford Avenue and places like Proctor Street, Valley Street. And there's a new plan being promulgated for Broad Street that I understand is not getting a very favorable response from the neighborhood. I just think the next administration needs to heed the concerns of our public safety officials first and foremost, and then residents and also business owners. I've spoken to several business owners on North Street whose businesses are really being dramatically hurt by the changes on North Street. So although I'm certainly in favor of traffic calming, as they say, that's the buzzword that's used today, we cannot implement measures that are impractical and actually harmful. So we need to do a much better job as far as I'm concerned about traffic management. And then when it comes to haunted happenings, that kind of bleeds into another issue, which is how we manage our tourism industry, and I'd be happy to talk about that.
Before I have you do that, let me just ask you about North Street. Are you referring to, and I'm not on North Street a lot, the additional, what are the traffic pylons there or whatever to, and probably restrict parking? Is that, am I right about on that or not?
Well, it's not only the pylons, but the city decided to implement a plan in which the bike lane is up against the curb. The people who need to park on North Street park actually out from the curb and adjacent to the travel lane. And then you have these pylons that are blocking certain portions of the street that you can't travel on anymore. The intersection with Moody Square, for example, the pylons block half of the entire intersection, so you can't even drive on the paved street. I can't tell you how many parking spaces have been lost. I would say it's north of 50. There's no parking along North Street up near St. Thomas Church whatsoever. Many of the businesses have lost the one or two spaces that they had, and the people coming out of the side streets are having a very difficult time trying to take particularly a left onto North Street, because you can't see around the cars that are parked out very close to the travel lanes, and the pylons are blocking people from using the entire roadway. So I think it was an ill-conceived plan. Certainly almost everyone I've spoken to thinks it needs to be revisited.
No, I think you've articulated that very well. Those are kind of my reactions, having been down there probably now. It's been about a month ago now, to be honest with you. But anyway, let's move on and let's wrap up with tourism, haunted happenings, and beyond the not just the 1 or 2 months in the fall, but beyond that. What are the thoughts and what are your concerns or what is your thinking regarding evaluating tourism in the city of Salem?
So tourism is a multifaceted issue as far as I'm concerned, because obviously we're happy when the businesses do well, but I've heard from a number of residents about the negative impact on the quality of life in their neighborhoods, not just the traffic and parking issues, but some of the things having to do with the hundreds of porta parties, people roaming the neighborhoods, throwing trash in people's yards, etc. So I just think we need to do a better take at managing our tourism industry. I'd start by convening a series of meetings involving all the stakeholders, residences and businesses, and Destination Salem, which is the city's marketing arm, to address how tourism is affecting our city, including the impact on the quality of life. I'm very disturbed about the use of the Salem Common and how in the last couple of years the Common has been chewed up by many of the events that take place after Halloween, and none of the vendors and any of the people that use it pay anything toward restoring it afterwards. I think that's a major problem. Parking during Halloween is a major problem as well, not only because it's difficult to find, but it bleeds into the neighborhoods, and then you have issues like the people who work downtown can't park anywhere near where they work. A number of business owners told me that, you know, their employees have to park as far away as Salem State and try to Uber to work downtown because there's no place to park, even if you work downtown. So I just think, you know, tourism is a very good thing for the city overall. I kind of wish it was a little more focused on the history of the city and some of the things that make us unique. But let's face it, the genie is out of the ball, particularly in terms of haunted happenings. I just think we need to do a much better job in managing it.
No, I hear that. I think you must have a lot of people that are empathize with that point of view, because they do appreciate it, especially the folks on the peripheral here from Salem. But on the other hand, it's got to be tough, like you said, if you're working in one of these offices or a store, you know, if you have to come into work anytime after, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Yes, and if you're a resident, you know, it's not just October now. It started out as actually 2 weeks in October, then it grew to the entire month. People are now starting to come as early as Labor Day and all the way up to almost Thanksgiving. So it's really almost, you know, 2.5 months of a significant impact on the quality of life for residents in terms of being able to get around town, you know, what happens in their neighborhoods, particularly the historic neighborhoods and the neighborhood that abuts the Common and Derby Street. It's just getting out of hand, and we just need to take a hard look at it.
Well, we're talking with Neil Harrington, candidate for mayor, former mayor of the city of Salem, current town manager in the town of Salisbury. Neil, as a final or concluding comment, feel free to take a moment to wrap things up, make any final comments or observations or comments for the public. By the way, again, for our listeners, we do have a link up to your website, Neil, and for anybody who wants any additional information on your candidacy, but also feel free to wrap it up and give us any final thoughts.
Well, I appreciated the opportunity to speak about some of the issues, Bill, today. I think it's very important that everyone knows where all the candidates stand. They also need to take a look at the candidates' qualifications, and I think with my executive experience, 8 years as mayor of Salem, and now almost 20 years as a town manager in Salisbury, I'm very familiar with what goes on in cities and towns, municipal budgets, interactions with state government, and I have an awful lot of experience in this particular role that, frankly, I don't think the other candidates bring to the field. So I think we need a steady hand, particularly since the mayor resigned in the middle of her term, so to speak, and we need someone that is able to step in from day one and do the job. I believe I'm well qualified, and I hope people will consider my candidacy.
Thank you. Neil Harrington, candidate city of mayor with us here, and again, mayor, candidate mayor Neil Harrington, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Bill. Nice to speak with you.
Yeah, take care. Neil Harrington, again, town manager, town of Salisbury, and again, candidate for mayor, city of Salem, with that primary election date on March 28th.